Thanks, Peter. I'm staying with Peter and Justina, old-time friends, and been a real blessing to be with them, sharing with the family. Actually, my wife and I come from, we're in Chilliwack, is where we live, and I'm with Avant Ministries, formerly Gospel Missionary Union, and I'm retired, and I'm still finding things to do. So I've asked the mission, and actually I've told the mission more than once. I said, as soon as you find a much younger and a much better looking man to do the job, I'm ready to step aside. So far, I'm not quite sure they're looking too much. Sometimes I wonder. But I like my softball in the summer. So the summer months I'm at home, and I basically scheduled 2 weekends a month that I not want to be away from home, that wouldn't sound right, but I want to be ministering in some church. And so today it's here in the EMC Church in La Crete, and I'm just delighted to be here. Over 50 years ago, my wife and I came to visit a couple by the name of Menno and Alvina Ham, and it was Menno's brother who I believe was starting a church, the EMC Church, right here. You're all too young. You don't remember that. Some of you ought to remember. But anyway, so we go way back. In fact, came to the bridge. I mean, we were told, I saw on the map, there was a bridge. There was a river between La Crete and the main highway. So I asked somebody about that in the wintertime. What do we do? And said, oh, there's a bridge. And so we took off. Everything was taken care of. And so when we got to the river, there was no bridge. There were some tracks across the river. And I said, well, I guess we have to cross the river. And my wife said, no way. There's water on that side. I'm sure it was water laying on top of the ice. And I said, I think we're going to wait a little bit and see if somebody else has some ideas. And so we waited, and a pickup came and barreled across the river. And I said, I guess it's okay for us. That was our first experience here in this land, boy, up north. Actually, you're farther north than we were when we were in Alaska for 30 years. Check it out. Aha, yeah, and we're not living in igloos either. That was in southeast Alaska. It would never work because it was so wet. No, actually, it's 300 miles, follow me now, don't go to sleep, 300 miles north of Prince Rupert. That's where southeast Alaska begins. And then another 500 further, that's that whole area, there are any number of communities, let's say like Ketchikan, I don't know why I'm getting into this, Ketchikan, Juneau, and Sitka, and Wrangell, and Petersburg. And we have churches in most of those places. And we were a part of that. That was our ministry. And once a year I go back just to visit the churches and share in the fellowship up there. So anyway, my wife and I were missionaries in Alaska for 30 years. We have 3 children, grandchildren. Now our first great-grandchild. We're blessed. And I think we might be even more blessed after a while. Give our young people some time. This morning, however, I want to talk about the big picture. Now, when you take an airplane across this field, these areas, and especially La Crete. I should do that sometimes, because I get very mixed up in directions. Awful. Don't know where left or right. I know where left or right is, but I have no way where it's heading. But a big picture would help if I could fly over top and see the big picture, right? You all heard about the Hubble Space Telescope. Was launched some years ago. You remember that? The big thing. When they got it up there, they found out that the lens was blemished, so they couldn't use it, and they have fixed it since that time. There was a lot of joking about that. But it has been repaired and has been at work and has given us a big picture of the universe. In fact, one astronomer said that they are as excited. No, this is what he said. This is way out of my range. But one astronomer says, we have about 5 billion years to get out of town because by that time, our sun will have lived out its 10 billion year life. Astronomers are as excited as kids going to their Major League Baseball game, devoted to learn more about the big picture. They now have a lot of new territory to explore because Hubble, the mighty magnifier, has discovered some 40 billion galaxies. Now, if half of that is true, that's unreal. I don't think it's true. We are blessed to worship a God who has created all things. More than that, we have a God who has left us a picture of what he delights in, what he desires for mankind. He's left us a clear picture. Someone has said you can go to the beginning of the scripture and go all the way to the book of Revelation, from Genesis to Revelation, and you have a red ribbon running through. It's not just a smatter of isolated events. They're connected. God, our God, has a picture and a plan for the whole universe from its infancy right to the very end. The psalmist David, not always had the picture in his heart, but sometimes. And here he writes in Psalm 67, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your ways, O God, may be known on earth. Your salvation, and we've been singing about this. Hey, we got this on here. We'll use it later. Okay, but it's a good picture, isn't it? That's John and Jill Lusing on their way to Czech Republic. They're already there, but we'll talk about that later, maybe, if we have time. Your salvation, you've been singing about the nations, okay? That's a very good missionary song, because our God is all about the nations of the world. Not only China, not only Africa, but all the nations of the world. And the psalmist had this, may the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad. May they sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest. And God, our God, whom we serve, whom we love, will bless us. But that's not all. And all the ends of the earth will fear him. Turn with me, if you have your Bible, to the book of Revelation. These are easy to find. That's why I chose them, right? Easy to find when we're in a hurry. Revelation chapter 5. God opens up another picture of a window into heaven. And this is what he sees. This is what he envisions. And this is his heart, folks. And this is the big picture. That someday, and I read in verse 10, there's the throne, and the Lamb is on the throne. We know who the Lamb is. You are worthy. There's a song being sung. You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood, get this, you purchased men for God from every tribe, language, and people and nation. And you have made them to be kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then chapter 7 of the same book, verse 9, and after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could number. from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne of God, in front of the Lamb, wearing white robes and were holding palms and branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Again, the phrase, from every tribe and nation. And folks, that's what God is all about. He is interested in what's happening here in La Crete and in Chilliwack. And I might be even more personal. He's interested in you particularly. Yes. He is interested in us, and he's interested in the world, so that all the world would hear about who God is. And all of the Old Testament, as you are familiar, and I don't need to tell you the stories, but God's dealing in the Old Testament with his children. You sometimes wonder, have you ever wondered what God is all about? What is he doing with his children? When they fail, when they sin, he spanks them, he disciplines them. When they do right, he blesses them. Why? So the children of Israel would feel good? Well, maybe partly, but really, if you check the scriptures, and I won't have time to do it today, but check the scriptures, you will find, for one reason, that all the nations surrounding Israel will come to know God, who he is, his power, and even his love, even though so often he works with judgment. One verse that has been a great help to me in understanding this is the book of, it's a book in the Bible, in the Old Testament. And it's chapter 5. Now, come on, give me some help. And verse 5. And this is Jerusalem. Can't believe it. This is Jerusalem. And I have set you here with nations all around. He says, Israel, if you will honor me, I will bless you for all the nations to see. Israel, if you sin, if you fail, not just fail, if you do wrong, if you disobey, you go to other gods, and there are lots of them, I will punish you in front of all the nations to see, that they will know that I'm a holy God. That's the message. All the way through the Old Testament, and then, of course, you are so familiar with Genesis chapter 12. I still haven't remembered that verse that I was going to give you, not the reference. Genesis chapter 12. We have the call to Abraham. See, the scripture bears out the fact of this big picture. And it's seen through the lives of Abraham when God came to Israel, to Abraham, and he said, Abraham, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. And all nations will be blessed. And of course, he was talking that through Abraham, the Lord Jesus Christ would be born through that line. And eventually would bless all the peoples of the world. And he's doing that. And I'll talk about that a little bit more in a bit. Not only did God show through the scriptures, through Abraham, that he had a big picture in mind, but also to the people of Israel. And then he had missionaries. Interesting times. You know the stories about Daniel, let's say. Let's think about Daniel just for a little bit. He was in a foreign country. He was a slave. He had been taken captive. Israel had sinned, and God dispersed them. But Daniel was in a country. And the King Nebuchadnezzar, you know about him. You've read about him. He had a dream. And not only did he forget the dream, but he also forgot, he didn't have any idea what it meant. And so he was going to kill all the the wise people in his community, under his control, including Daniel, because nobody could tell him what his dream was, nor interpret it. And so Daniel heard about it, and here he was, quite insignificant, although God had already blessed him in the midst of this heathen country as a picture of what God was all about. And so, as you know the story, God told Daniel what the dream was, first of all, and what it meant. And the testimony of this King Nebuchadnezzar was just tremendous. He says, now we know. Get this testimony. Now we know there is a God. He is greater than any gods that we have been worshiping. And I could go on and on, but I want to just share some brief current examples, again, of what God is doing and what he continues to do, all in line with that red ribbon we were talking about. Just recently, I was in Manitoba for a get-together with the Kaler family for a Christmas get-together in June. We can't get together in December. We don't want to get together in Manitoba in December. And so we all get together in June, and we have our get-together. We had a great time. And it was in St. Agathe, which is a Catholic community. And we rented a place there. My niece, who works with Campus Crusade, they've rented a place there, and that's where we had our get-together. But that wasn't the important thing as far as the big picture was concerned. It was a big picture, all right, but it was still very local. But every Friday, some 60 to 70 young people come right out of the public school, the public high school, and come into this little center, drop-in center, where my niece is in charge. And she feeds them some soup and some buns. And then her son, Mike, comes in, and he shares the God story with these kids. You know, I was so blessed when I saw that. I was so blessed when I heard what God is doing. See, that's all about God's business. That's the big picture. It's all part of the big picture. And then something, I didn't know whether I even could mention this in an EMC church, but I'll take a chance because I have some good friends here. I was watching a bull riding contest. Don't tell my mother, no, she's in heaven. She probably does mine. And just a young guy, 17 years of age, I think, he was a champ. And they called him up on the platform. And they had the nerve to ask him, well, how did you get your life together? You just did so well. Very calm, quiet individual. And he shared a testimony. How God, giving all credit to God, not just about this riding, but his whole life, he said, his name is Travis. How God had put everything together for him. A good witness. In the least expected places, we find God at work, at home and abroad. What motivates people, we would say, to go to Africa, Malawi, Africa, like Alan Andre and Alex Van Warden just left from our church to go up there with their for 2 years. They have three little girls. They're out there right now, very poverty-stricken place, and they're helping the farmers to do better farming so that they can feed their children. Tremendous thing that's happening. Often think about in Bolivia. We have been in Bolivia for many years. Karina Clements, an MK, didn't know where she was going to go to minister. One day she was walking in the streets of Santa Cruz, and she saw all these kids Some of them sleeping under the trees. Some young mothers, probably 12, 13 years of age with babies, sleeping under the trees on cardboard boxes, sniffing glue to dumb the pain that they were experiencing. And somehow God got a hold of her heart. She said, we must do something about it. That's quite a few years ago. It could be 10, 12 years ago. If you go to Santa Cruz, there's a nice place there for young people, kids, especially girls, that are in trouble. They can come there and get some help. They can learn a trade. First of all, they learn who Jesus is, okay, that he saves. He loves them. Then they teach them a trade, so when they leave the area or go back in the streets, they have a trade so they can earn their own living. They don't have to prostitute and things like that. God is doing a marvelous thing. Right now we're waiting for a building to be erected, Lord willing, for the boys. There's boys like that need that same kind of help. Love to take you to Morocco. Jamie and I were there, as I mentioned, to the Sunday school class. Our missionaries were expelled from Morocco in 1967, from Morocco. They went across the channel. It's the Strait of Gibraltar, and Malaga in Spain is real very close to that, to Morocco. They set up shop there. They started a ministry with correspondence courses, radio. Now it's television. Now it's internet. Now it's coffee houses, websites, and just all kinds of things that Jamie is involved with. And just recently we discovered there was a small church. You can't have churches in Morocco. You can't have missionaries in Morocco. But you can send the gospel in through this multimedia plant, as it were. And we've been doing it for years, and we're discovering now people. In fact, there were 10 people that met recently as a church. And all of them had heard the gospel through this multimedia center. What a tremendous tool God has given us. We thank God for what he is doing. Had a friend just came back from Cuba. What do you say about the church in Cuba? The big picture. God is interested in Cuba, regardless of who the dictator is. He's been there for less, I don't know how long Castro has been there. Well, I think his brother's in there now. Not much better. Is God really at work in a communistic country? John Harder, who just came back from Cuba, he says, the 10th Baptist Church in Santiago, Cuba, is just 4 years old and is located in a rough area of the city. Sunday morning, they get 140 people out requiring two services because their building is so small. This young church already has two mission churches. And 23 prayer cells. The church has 103 baptized members and 40 baptismal candidates. That's one church. The Seventh Baptist Church in 2000, they just had 40 members, but today they have 277 in attendance. They have 15 Bible clubs with 200 in attendance. They also have a lay missionary who is planting another church. The big picture, all over the world. The Apostle Paul, all over the world. This gospel is bringing forth fruit. That's God's heart. That's what he delights to see. He loves people. He wants them to come into his family so he can love them together with the church. My favorite story, and I'm just going to make this very short, is what happened among the Quechua Indians in Ecuador, South America. And most of you have heard this story. The people were bent on destroying themselves, and then one day, and they were doing a good job of it, and then one day, after many years of work, the place opened up. Henry and Pat Clausen were the missionaries that God used in particular in that area. Not only were there people saved, but today we have some 800 churches in the Mount Chimborazo promise alone. They're already sending out their own missionaries. Tremendous work that God is doing. Just received an email a couple months ago, actually, by now. There was a group of Shuar and Achuar church people. You know, they were part of a group that were called, they were the head shrinkers, literally. Check your library for a book by Frank Drown called the Headhunters or Head Shrinkers. What they did, these tribes did, they would literally behead their enemy, and they would have some kind of chemical that they would use to shrink the head. This actually happened. And they would hang these heads on a living room as decoration. That's the kind of people we're talking about. Now, just a month or two ago, this is what happened. The Shuar Church Association yearly leadership retreat was held here, and we all stopped our work to attend a good event. How encouraging that church leaders want more teaching from the Word of God, and they are content to have their own leaders to do the teaching. The topic, I was getting a chuckle out of this one, the topic was learning to handle anger God's way. I mean, that's something that we would want to attend, right? Here out there, the Shuar and the Achuar tribes, they want it. They have anger too. Okay, and the interesting thing about this one was the fellow that was actually teaching it was a former member of that headhunting tribe. We're talking with God at work in his world. I get it again. We have to praise God for what He is doing. Very quickly, what can we do? I know you're a missionary-minded church. What can we do? Let me say from the Apostle Paul, Romans 15, 30-32, he emphasizes the importance of prayer. And I challenge you folks, if you're not involved in praying for each other, we need to do that. We need to pray for each other in our churches. We need to pray for our pastors and our leaders. We need to pray for our neighbors. Have you ever thought about praying for those neighbors you don't like? Or even the ones you like? Pray for our missionaries. Pray for Jamie. They need our prayers. Something that's struck in my heart recently, pray for the national converts. There are many of them. And for some of it's a tremendous, tremendous struggle. One Christian worker was ministering to or witnessing to an individual. He was a Muslim. And one day this Muslim friend of his said, "You know, are you going to take care of my family if I become a Christian?" Because he knew he would probably lose a job. He might even lose his life. There are places in the world it's illegal to be a Christian. And if you convert to Christianity, you're dead meat. It can happen, and it does happen. We need to pray for when we send missionaries out, pray for the converts that God is going to give them so they will be strong, they will remain strong in Him. Keith Small, one of our missionaries, speaking on the subject of how to manage opposition, and two men were, there were many others, but two particular men approached him afterwards, he said, after the message. They approached him and thanked him for dealing with this difficult but relevant topic. A Jordanian man had fled to England to save his life after he accepted Christ. A Jordanian man also fled to save his life after his fiancée was killed by her father in an honor killing. We're saying we need to expand our prayer list, okay, to include the new believers. God cares for them. We need to pray for them. A grandmother had two goals. A Christian grandmother had two goals. Not my grandmother necessarily, but there was a grandmother who had two goals. Number one, to live in eternity with Christ, who had redeemed her. And number two, to invite as many people to come with her. That was her goal. I leave this story with you. Ecuador, South America. I was traveling with Henry Clausen, our missionary out there. And in his hometown, he was well known. He was all known all over the province of Chimborazo. But we were walking in the back alley, and I would not advise you to do that. Back alleys, even in Lofer, Manitoba, where I grew up, weren't too good. But these are even much worse. But as we were walking this down this alley, I noticed there was a board fence, type of fence, with one board missing. And we were walking towards that spot. And a little boy, Ecuadorian boy, peeked through that fence, the hole in the fence. And then I noticed him getting up and running into the house. And he was talking, he was saying something. I had no idea what it was, so I asked Henry, What is that? What did that boy say? And Henry said, the boy said, he said, Jesus is coming. He looked at Henry, and he knew what Henry represented. And I wondered to myself, how often do I remind people about Jesus through my life and through my words? God help us, challenge us. Let's keep up the good work we're doing. Let's ask God to stretch our hearts. I love to give this story. My mother had only 12 kids, which isn't much around some of the people I've talked about around here. A lot of you have had 12 children, or you have 12 siblings, whatever. But she had 12, and then she was. My dad died, and she was going to remarry. And she was going to marry my uncle, who had 11 children. And I won't try to get into details of that one. But anyway, she called me in Alaska. And she says, Bill, I'm going to get married. And I'd already heard about this, some of it anyway. And I said, well, that took me a little while to give an answer. And I said, finally, I said, Mom, I know that you know how much I love you. And I know what a big heart you have. I don't doubt at all that your heart can embrace another 11 children, all grown up, some having their own children. You can do that. God can help you to do that. Maybe sometimes we feel we're doing all, our heart is full. Let's ask God for a stretching, make sure that we're in tune with Him and that we are a part of God's big picture. Thank you.